I used to be a regular here before I kind of decamped to Dublin, unfortunately, some years ago. But we had some great nights and some great poetry, and I see some old faces. Sorry, not old faces, just a bit older than they were when we met them before. So when Paul asked me to do this, I was delighted. And he kind of was implied that he wanted to hear things that I was doing since I used to be here those few years ago. So I'm going to start off anyway with some fairly recent poetry, and most of these are unpublished along the way. They're all in Irish, but I have an English translation of some kind along the way, so we'll see how that goes, and then a few other different kinds as well. So this one is kind of an ecological poem called Fis an Chrim, or as we'll see in English later on, the wisdom of the tree. Inish tana kring a lyaga, ach ni chlashter ma kala, a vus no again. Ma lyatter ordri na kille, is ban ibr in a farisha, ka vis doing e. Ni anam agin ora, so leiden nas a yregish, nas an oliach fein, ach laur le na chela, fahig jo na kringa, a dana vair de hain. Nor a lyatter id le forse, ni ektar skail an oster, is ni chlashter an uil pain. Nor a lyatri gotalov, lesh an wille deri garov, ni hol doing a skein. Ach skradit gohard le mullet, ar yehe kyun an aimwit, as an nanunacha dilsha fein. The wisdom of the tree. Trees are now being felled, but we do not hear their whining in forest or in dell. If the king of trees is slain, or the wood empress laid low, who is there to say? We have no names to strictly pin upon them a scientific lip, neither in Greek or even Latin. But they speak to one another, these giants of the forest, these arboreal, monstrous lovers. But when they are hacked down, their ghosts are never found, but their silent pain resounds. But they scream and scream and scream out of bottomless arboreal pain to gods who are never there. When I translate, I try to make them into a different kind of a poem. Sometimes they're as good, and sometimes they're much worse, and sometimes they might even be better, you never know. When I was in school, we had a teacher who said to us, when she was talking about Keats's poem on first looking into Chapman's Homer, she said that Cortes was the first man to be able to see the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans at the same time. Now, her history was wrong and her geography is wrong, but we let that. And it kind of dawned on me that he couldn't have seen from Derry, and he couldn't have seen the Atlantic and the Pacific at the same time, because you simply can't do that. And I therefore decided to write a poem about it. This is it, and again, I have a translation. Erivion ul Darien. Be Cortes a hir chanik and da huid, and da agean sir a shir gan choring, a dour da moon to a starling a being, father of a yogurt lesh gan dean to it. The umtas erags howlicha moor is Raymond damin christi o re, o chrisca chris fadin tui lamach, o liana la gross evening an shred of choir. Is dardig nim a law go foily maul, a swing of them are in flat. Is dihiriste on meanchish in a chool, a begorev on pobble duchish, cloch is dowl. On Darien's Peak. Cortes was the first to see the two oceans, east and west, and gape with great amaze. Our teacher said, with her confidence of knowing, although her history and geography were both away. He was gobsmacked, as you all say now, and saw stretching before him a great kingdom of belief across the globe, being filled with graces of the one true faith. But then I raised my hand with some caution, knowing all about the leather and its kindred kind, and asked from the huddling back benches, was it that all the native peoples were just blind? Because presumably the native peoples saw the oceans long before Cortes or any conquistador did. We were all, I think, shocked, obviously, taken apart with the revelations recently about the children in the graves in Tuam and indeed in some of the other burial places as well. And this is a poem I wrote about it at the time. The Shura Sorelli, which is the nuns in the graveyard. Turingin a dirgach, der glocher an ocht, is gan a chaint an ach na canal, is ne clingin a boch de bilge nach ar du chayaco, smuin a vrabac a fein, nach vayach si de fleishur yanav, na a ra. Pishin a bilge tan a roite, agor a dalav, sur fadainchin nach fluch fli a chi, le gunni na chadig an teilsho, horri nar luig an feish de fulla, den a llawn an shlawin dhim. Sa chui hir pa bant ravil in a vil an charan o cora ni ciat ag an airef den oige aling catam ar ravil sa charan caca ni bliant aile den terifish cata. In fact, I didn't translate that poem, but I'd written another poem in English about the same thing, which kind of the same sentiments but in a different form and with different words and saying slightly different things, which I called The Undocumented Irish. So there's a reasonably good title. The babies lie there in their sepulchre of sewage, waiting for the resurrection. They are quietly comfortable now, wrapped up as they are in their septic swaddling clothes, buried with the relics of old decency without great fuss and to no great holy cost. Quite legitimately, they got no great succour in their wail of tears. And yet, they lie there patiently, waiting for the resurrection. Yeah, right, waiting for the resurrection. I'm not a great lover of nature. I can kind of tell the difference between a dock leaf and a nettle, and between a dragonfly and something else. But this is actually poem about the mayfly, and as we know, the mayfly has a very short life, it was less than a day, I think, along the way. It's called An Chil Hjautine Mayfly. Mazoagling Scale Nakilagel, the life cycle of the mayfly. Well, we know the life cycle of the mayfly. Just being smart, there's a poem that was recently a request from my daughter, who was doing work on a package for schools about the World Cup in Qatar, which will be held in two years' time. And of course, we know, or we should know, that maybe 600 people, 600 men mainly, have died every year since the stadiums in Qatar were being built. And that if you buy a jersey for €85, the workers will get something like 60 cents. And she asked me to write something, and I wrote a poem called Mira Bega. It's in three parts. Third part is very short. After each part, I will translate it as I can. It's very simple, because it was written for primary school children. So, might be better. Mira Bega. I was going to say, by the way, about the World Cup. I'm very interested in football and soccer, same as lots of other people, and I will certainly look at it, especially if the Republic of Ireland are not playing, because I have great respect for a good standard of football. That's only being smart again. It's Misha Panchali, Tá Mira Beagagam, Tá Mira Beagagam mar Tommy Oog, Tá Mira Beagagam, ach, Tá Mira Nis Lú Fós in Bangladesh. Ní léinú rík ma vera bega fós. Tá rík vera ma váhar. Ví mera ma váhar ag obar sa vonacha. Ví ma váhar ag obar sa vonacha choma. Ma vinnig mera ma váhar a tuart bíadon. Ma vinnig mera ma váhar me a chara chola. Tá ma vera nish ag obar sa vonacha. Tá mishe ag obar aon choma. Ach ní mishe me féin. Is mishe ma vera. Bimachud mera ag obar vashin. Lauren an mashin lem vera. Ni lauren an mashin gudas lem vera. Caig ma vera obar yanov nis papula. Mar nélan ma vera oberís tapúla be si a dí a bhuiin. Má bhíon ma vera dí a bhuiin ní ann dom. Is mis ma vera. Dénam ma vera gansa a pelle. Dénam ma vera gach dá ar daan. Fekfu na gansa a dhéanig ma vera a go mórtas pelle chorn an daan. Tá mér a mahar ar chorn pelle an daan. That's for, but I actually don't have a translation where translators are going along, more or less, if I get so, if I stumble, please correct me. It's called Little Fingers. I am Pat Challey. I have little fingers. I have little fingers because I'm young. I have little fingers, but there are smaller fingers than mine in Bangladesh. There are no wrinkles on my little fingers yet. There are wrinkles on my mother's fingers. My mother's fingers were working in the factory. My mother was working in the factory also. My mother's fingers often gave me food. My mother's fingers often put me asleep. But my fingers now are working in the factory. But I'm working in the factory also. But I am not myself. I am just my fingers. My fingers work on a machine. They laugh, and my fingers speak to the machine. The machine doesn't speak nicely to my fingers. My fingers have to work much more quickly. If they don't work more quickly, they shall be idle. If my fingers are idle, I don't exist. I am my fingers. My fingers make jerseys, football jerseys. My fingers colour every colour in the world. The jerseys will be seen that my fingers make in the World Cup. Mm. My father's fingers are on the World Cup. Mm. And the second bit about her father. Ahmed Mahed. Tá mér a mór aige. Mér a mór a láidre. Dordig sé me an talaf le na vera mór a láidre nor vi me fein dal bídach agus eisin in a ach. Tá mér a mahar a vaduim an ish. Tá mér a mahar a tina variga doing an ish in Qatar. Víach mér a mahar dina kioil doing so ele. Víach mér a mahar gabíing ar an zitar gach lá riav. Vúin mér a mahar dom conas kioil yanav. Ach ni lén kioil sur vonach a sa in a wilna ganza pelle. On Nianov. Being Mera Maharanish, a clay libriki. Ni fail the Mera Mahar Muran Kyoil of Wint as Briki. Ni Lauren Nibriki, the Mera Mahar, Mura Laurach and Kyoil. The Mera Mahar Bala Vinish, Gan Kyoil. The Mera Mahar Garav Vinish, Gan Kyoil. The Mera Mahar, the Tog Island Dowin, Maraveg. Mera Mavara Schneer and Dowin, Maravich. Mavera Fena Kahu and Dowin. Mar tá. Bhailam bre ar bhéra mahar. Bhailam iad in aici láibhe. Bhailam ma bhéra bilga in a mhéra múra. Ach tá mhéra múra na farige is an arigid adaring a rean. Ahmed is my father. He has big fingers. Big strong fingers. His big strong fingers lifted me up from the ground when I was very small and when he was a giant. My father's fingers are far away now. My father's fingers are earning money for us in Qatar. My father's fingers used to make music at home. My father's fingers used to play the sitar every day. My father's fingers taught me how to make music, but there's no music in this factory where the football jerseys are being made. My father's fingers now make bricks. My father's fingers can't make much music out of bricks. My father's fingers don't speak like the music used to speak. My father's fingers are dumb without music. My father's fingers are rough without music. My father's fingers are building the world as it will be. My mother's fingers used to weave the down as the world as it was. My own fingers are making the world as it is. I would love to take hold of my father's fingers. I would love them to be near me. I would love my little fingers to be big fingers, but the big fingers of the sea and of money are between us both. Ismisha Panchali, Palmera Begagum, or Palmera Mora Iglina Hela. I am Panchali, I have little fingers, but everybody else has huge fingers. I did have, they're all unpublished, I did have a collection of poems, Rawadant, which is a pun on warning poems and selected poems, but they're not really selected poems because it's the only first book of poems I ever had. And there's different kind of poetry in it. One of them is called, if you've ever read the Bible, and I'm not recommending it, there's a book called The Book of the Apocalypses, which is the maddest book in the, that you could think of in the Bible, and whoever wrote it was obviously on some kind of magic mushrooms, I didn't know what it was. And I don't know why this poem came to me, but it's called in Irish, Cahar Markach na Apocalypse Tach Dohrim and Chnik, or in English, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse Coming Over the Brow of the Hill. It's quite short. On Hirdina Diev Hannah Rugge, on Tarna in Order Ossel, on Triu of St. Caharu Kjauner Kjaun, Viewil of Sir Hama Hamel, Farren Chapel Hitta Yelet, Farren Ossel Chailshin Tli, on Triu of St. Caharu, Bain Doi Stop, Hanagak, the Young of St. Hill. I always lowered the tone with some of my poetry, and this would be one of them. Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse Coming Over the Brow of the Hill. The first one rode on a scabby pony, the second on an ass, third and fourth respectively on jinnets, but let that pass. The first one fell from his saddle, the ass man got stuck in mud, but the third and fourth dismounted then to have a quiet shite in the woods. Write that one somewhere. You have to think about it, okay, sorry. Another shortish poem, on Tilla Luske, which is the Holocaust, really. Something when I was growing up, which I never understood, because again, getting good presentation, brothers' education, amongst others, we were taught catechism and other things, and we were kind of given to understand that so it was the Jews who were responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus. And I wasn't the most stupid guy in the class, but it dawned on me that that wasn't true. After all, he was scourged by the Romans. If the crucifixion is a Roman punishment, it was Roman soldiers did a whole lot. So this is a poem sort of which you'll see what it means. Tell the Luske. Kain fa shinge ersan rabbi, fuasa nemile blien shir shis, ni shinge varig vur slan avoid, ni shinge hias vur greist, bid no rovanig das ood, for yoan tli is a yenan vacht, saidoi rovanach then a leiden varbara. A chamain a tarni shtach. So here's the translation. Why choose us, said a puzzled rabbi? Why hate us for 2,000 years or more? We never put your on trial your Jesus, nor crucified your own Saviour. It was those cultured Romans, 'twas their law, they were the boss. The Roman soldiers with their marbled Latin drove their nails into the cross. Not very nice. And just because sometimes when I translate a poem, I discovered that I had one done already, and it's a little bit different, so I'm going to read the slightly different one as well, even though it's the same. But why blame us, asked the rabbi, why does hatred never stops? It wasn't us who crucified your Saviour, it wasn't us who nailed him to the cross. It was those lovely civil Romans, it was their law, their whipping, and a Roman soldier with his marble Latin who drove the nails into his hands. Not a very pleasant point, but things like that aren't very pleasant. Collected. I won't read any more out of collected poems, but Julie read out that I wrote a novel in verse. I actually like long poetry, one of the few people who probably do, so I decided why not write a novel in verse. So I did one called An Fan Fasa, which translates as The Wise Woman, also maybe a witch. There is no word in Irish for witch, none whatsoever. It wasn't that we were so advanced and so civilized. It is because the theology of witchcraft had never quite reached Ireland. If it had, we'd have probably been doing them as well. And the only witches in Ireland, you will notice, this is a history lesson, were in the Anglo-Norman areas. Yall, Kilkenny, and in Eoghan McGee. There were none in Gaelic Ireland, no witches. So, An Bhean Fasa means a wise woman more than anything else. And it is the reconstruction of a real story of a woman who comes down to us as Goody Glover. And Goody Glover, which wasn't her name, was deported from Ireland along with others in the 1650s along out to the Caribbean, to the Isle of Barbados. Some went to Jamaica and some of them went to Montserrat. We know very little about her, but she was in Barbados as what was called an indentured servant. Indentured servants were basically slaves, although people think that they were treated differently. I rather think sometimes they were treated worse, because after all, a slave is a possession of somebody, and if you own somebody, you're going to look after that person up to a point. The indentured servant served for 7 years or 14 years and then were let free, so you could actually work them to death. And when she had served her time, she went on to Boston, and where she was accused of being a witch by young children, for some reason or other, who took sick. And this happened 4 years before the Salem witch trials. She was hanged on Boston Common on the 16th of November in 1688. And the interesting thing, from my point of view, being the kind of person I am, was it is the first reference that we have to the Irish language in North America. Not a very auspicious one, as would happen, but it's the first reference we have, because she was hanged. And the other thing is, she actually spoke nothing at her trial except Irish. We don't know whether she knew any English. It's possible she did, and she didn't speak it out of it. And she was questioned by some of the highest, by Cotton Mather, who was president of Harvard College, who believed deeply in witchcraft. So, and the book is constructed around different people telling their story about her. So the one who was speaking to the very opening of the book, the only bit I've translated, is by somebody called Clemency Goodwin, who was a witness. And the New England Puritans had names like, next person, Redeemed Brewster, and let me see, Faint Not Doxy. They had all these fancy names which we have, the Puritan names. So this is Clemency Goodwin, who was a witness and speaks about what happened, what he saw. On Vichach Visha Doldig on Auris. Kadeli yan fa yo shud a yinan khaner hart regen ma yinchi de ha falls an ege hede kadish in dumse na dan vweter vi a hai homi lich lesh a baka is fear ho bon ish in skamil a vi os a kyun las norde ho lia ish in dref shod id ar gha yalan on rev tru gom de a yirin tu tru an dine le dine ele tru an christi choir lesh a baka ach Roy Diorin gan ligin lesh mandri a behe. Hicsi in a cree stig a revripe. Ni higin an cree dove, solus, vlo, an hroster, ach an crees dive fein, lichter gurua in ifrin. In yeshin, ni chamish ein askin a lay. Ni revulam e, ni revulam manail a charmu, le fuek a cron, a mail na maiden a fuere. Bhí feicthe hanagam a bhruach na farige, iad is salacha an mhuala ar ghuaillín cluiche, gibhead is caintas silí slamicálta le na béal síos. A chuid gruige ina sliad líthe a nuas go grána, dos ar famine gan lisna táile ina holas tríthe, agus láha garbha ná chlúdig láhíní riamh. Chula tásc gan gó, tásc gan ilc is na guibhe, Chula na sciarta mionas mór a chluis sa rôd rípe. Dior na dior ni'r chulme is i adol chon na cre. So the person who is speaking is Clemency Goodwin, and I tried again to make some kind of poetry with the kind of half rhymes which I kind of like in a way. The old witch, she had it coming to her. She had to hang. For the true way she had abandoned the path of goodness left behind, the psalms of righteousness she never sang, but went with popery and bore the mark of the Antichrist upon her pitched and popped face, whitens the sepulchre of evil, and also grey, for she knew the end was nigh. And she would face the truth as terrible as sin. Did I pity her, you ask? No, neither a jot nor tittle. For the holy book doth tell us that we must not cringe from the judgment of the just. For as sure as I am saved, she is condemned, and a black flower can never give the honey which a lost soul will always crave. I've rarely seen naught akin to a miserable state, a ghostly flesh all drooling down upon a moving cart, and defiance there spitting out behind her that pale-skinned face. Her legs were dragged with force to scrape across our streets. This shit of life, forgive me, it is a word I do eschew. Her face is sickly pale as, let us say, words failing, as the sheets of the unrighteous dead. But yet, her I did not curse, for she was never worth it. Why would I expend a breath on such a witch? I never had such a developed thirst. But she, I'd seen her down on the fishmonger quay, beating clothes against a rock on lovely stone, and babbing a tongue which devils made it spake. Of this much I do not remember, but only just that she was one to be avoided, a harridan who could make water boil, and could thrust us up to hell with wisps of hair put in a bowl and boiled with a broth of dragon's teeth, infused with the testines of a young virgin owl. Yes, I'd heard about her, I'd heard her exploits well, all that stuff about her cat, her loving close familiars, so I did not shed a tear when she dropped down into hell. It goes on like that for another 300 pages. I enjoyed doing it, and I learned a lot about New England and witchcraft along the way. This is a poem which I wrote about Miles Joyce. And Miles Joyce was one of the people who was hanged for the Maud Trastan murders in 1882, and he was one who was totally and absolutely innocent. And if anybody, there are several books and films made about Maud Trastan, one of the great injustices in Ireland. And again, these were all Irish speakers. Miles Joyce, Moira Shoiga, had no English whatsoever, not a word of English. And of course, there is a suspicion that in the trial that the translator who came from Donegal didn't quite understand what somebody was saying, but they were determined. And they spent, James Joyce wrote about this several times, because they were Joyces. And they spent the people, the rest who were condemned, there were three of them hanged, the rest spent the entire 20 years, not a day was remitted in jail. So this is Joyce. And when Joyce was on his being hanged, he shouted out in Irish, "I am as innocent as a babe in the cradle," which indeed he was. Chluishta trida niha hiri, oita chasni na huin an shliav, den ingatari begad an dliachar lasa, nishin moin loch ar eft hahi agotsa eche. Is to a fuir na tocha bella crua fehav, sni tiha mura nach vachatu riav river, gudi la beg shin na carnoiga fiasa wegi, nurvi peruvuik Ravaha, Vadnis Farshinga, now go found Mephiria. Isha, near Hictu, got of oars, na balte, agus, severishing, na arrectory of Hanna, got of Dina gone pop, anam in a sea, a froki mala, a jramig don eating alling, most she plea, a halavig the hop, shantish giti a chinnig, corsner, was going a chela, na good, na sounty could a horsner. Ná mar eitir dynar bê, ná crochtar fær, chôi nafod chôidach, leis yn llanaf sofrin. Now, as it happens, I don't have a translation of that, but in compensation for it, I have another poem of a different kind. And in this case, I have an Irish poem, but I couldn't find the original, so I only have the translation. So we're doing things arseways about it. And some people may remember from school a poem called Misha Raftery and Filla, of Raftery, the poet from County Galway, who wrote a poem about him being poor Misha Raftery and Filla, long dochish straw, da 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 da. Fechan ishmes mchoin le bala ishinam kyoil the folk we follow, which Brendan Behan translated last night. I am blind raftery without hope or love or whatever it was. Here I am with my arse to the wall playing music for sweet fuck all. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly typical Behan translation. So I entitled this poem, whose original is lost in my computer, definitely not raftery. I am not raftery, the poet, emptied of hope and love, with eyes wide shut, but at a shove, I could return to my last and cobble a few rhymes which would make the cut in Poetry Ireland or the Irish Times. Well, that's why I'm here, with my arse getting broader, with a fine fanat cluas from Cronin's Eos Dona. Bit cynical, but and as we're kind of on that theme as well, a poem which, because it's got to do with Irish, it's got to do with Irish culture in a way, is a poem about Patrick Kavanagh. This is in English. Patrick Kavanagh was a great poet, a wonderful poet, but he also wrote some awful crap. And one of the worst poems ever written in Ireland was a poem called In Memory of Brother Michael, which some of you may know of. When Drake was winning seas for England, we sailed in puddles of the past, chasing the ghost of Brendan's mast. Culture was always something pedants could measure, something of something. Something pedants could measure, yeah. Something that tie of barred, will we be thus forever, will we be thus forever? And it's a terrible poem. Basically, we should have been like England going out conquering countries along the way. I was given an invitation to lecture at the Patrick Kavanagh weekend some years ago, 2 years ago, which I did. And I read this poem, but I had the engine of the car running outside, just in case. So this is my retake on it. Also, Brother Michael. Michael, of course, being one of Micheál Cléire, one of the annals of the Four Masters, being wrote. It was always the world, not the parish, the sun rising on the ever new. When Grendel hacked the halls of heathens, Ireland wrote in brightsome letters gold the Book of Kells, wrought the Ardagh chalice, embraced Europe's knowledge in leaves untold. It was summer too, and sometimes winter, when a blackbird whistled across Loch Lay. But when Drake was butchering meat for England, we dreamed of capturing the best of what was done, but not yet said. The seeds we sowed were seeds of wonder, life upspringing from the clay, the yellow bittern mocking his ice lock, or Dirnin joking his life away. It was then, and will be, the poet's way. Culture is always something that blazes from within the soul beyond theory's grasp. Through the skull of genius with sighs inspiring, plumbing depths beyond all masks. It will be thus forever. It will always be thus forever. I was trying to get revenge on Patrick Kavanagh, which I think I might have done. Now, hold on, hold on, Paul, how long are we doing for that?
10 minutes?
Yeah. Okay, fine. Just as I was. I'm going to go on to a few translations that I did just because it's slightly different. Because being an Irish scholar, I suppose, having spent years up in UCC and other places, I also learned Scottish Gaelic and can speak it. It took me many years to do so. When people confuse the two and call Irish Gaelic, it ain't. I spent years learning Gaelic, and I can tell you it is very different from Irish. And the great Scottish poem, Sorley MacLean, Sorley Mac Gillan, was a great, great poet, and he's translated by Hugh McDiarmid, by Ian Crichton Smith, by lots of other people as well. And just for some reason, this poem, I decided to translate this poem. I'll read the Gaelic first of all. It's quite short, and then the English. It's about he was raised on the Isle of Razie, which is a small island of Scotland, and where Presbyterianism of a kind is very strong. I used to say to people, if you have a problem with Irish Catholicism, try Scottish Presbyterianism for a change. You'll find out you can't meet the cows and son in the playgrounds are closed and all the rest of it. And he was raised there. He didn't quite like it, and he kind of escaped. So it's called Calvary. Chanel Mahuil Calvary, nor the Bethlehem and I, Achar cúil hrodan ghasachú prevelan lau a fáis. Os ar siomrún dún éidin, siomr bachgin as craig, prevelan nuin crechach re úna grich gavás. Calvary. I don't give a fig for Calvary, nor a straw for Bethlehem, but for the smelly oxter of Glasgow, where life shrivels on the stem, and for a kip in black Edinburgh of disease and crap and flies, where the sickly, puking baby throws up until it dies. He was a great poet in another way, but that's the only one of those we're going to do. And just, this is the pure neck from my point of view, because this is kind of showing off, really, if I can call it that. I also am one of the few people, one of about 2,000 people, who understands Manx. Manx was a language, kind of Irish basically, that was spoken in the Isle of Man. The last people died out in the 1970s, about 2,000, maybe 3,000 who know it. And just to show off, basically, I came across, and there aren't many poems, not surprisingly, to be written in Manx, but there are some. And I saw this poem and I said, okay, we can attempt to translate it. And interesting, it's about sheep. It's sheep in the countryside, and it looks like a romantic mush, but there's a dark cutting to it at the same time. So if you've never heard Manx read, you're going to get it now.
In a
Cork accent. Er a cheer se hirach, ta shan cheat san air, masli ni kiri egi, tarich e uninen te gas mar fall. Yoin vegi giremach mach e dach gas berach, hoedstaid shiri bar the hul gan gorti. Geert e cheri troid, gari garu, sharu tan selsho, Kimshach tan a truchene, Tamali does a sair, or chra a begon pale, on the vochery hig on glur. Translation. I didn't actually, it's something that the country in the countryside in the gloaming, I suppose you call it. Out there darkling as the day dies, song comes into us on the wind, the shouting of baby sheep. Trapped in thistles that bind like wires that stab and prick, small lambs bleating at every snatch while they try to negotiate and even find their own path through bog and sucking moor. The world is woolly and unfair, and piercing is their mountain moan, their helpless plea to get away. It is a plea that every sheep has felt, but in the morning the horny goat is next. So there's a little dark at the end along the way. Right. Okay, I'm going to one or two more translations. I was talking earlier about Frank O'Connor as a translator, and there's very little that Frank O'Connor hasn't translated. And he translated many Irish poets. This, I'm not sure if he did this one, so did Austin Clark. It's about a blackbird. I happened to be listening to Radio Air today and heard the Beatles song with the blackbird. There's a lot of blackbirds, blackbird across the Loch Lane. There's a lot of blackbirds in old Irish poetry. So this is an old poem from probably the 10th or 11th century originally, with kind of modern Irish version of then structures it. Three verses. Bean shin a linder and harm, the chulamen or seve, chul mavingen or the ho, is too far von the nid. Einchol is binge fan me, marig nach eishin leshke foil, a vik halpring na blood mean, is go meir fa erish na de noin. A gut war a togam fein, na mach dain shiel an oin, di en fa deir go diem, is ni vach tare erir go foil. This is sweet, blackbird of Derry Cairn. I never heard anywhere in these realms music sweeter than your voice and you and your nest of ferns. The most melodious music in the world. A pity you are not listening to it still. Machalprin of the melodious bells and of the music of the spheres taking your fill. If you knew, as I myself do, the real story of the bird, you would pour tears fiercely and even forget your God. That's all. Now, this is a poem which I may have read here years ago. and only Paul remembers from us others. It's called, it's a poem by an Irish poet of the 17th century called Davy O'Brodyr, who was a great, one of the greatest Irish poets of the 17th century. But being a poet, he was quite proud and obnoxious, as some poets can be. And while he was walking between Cork and between Cork and Limerick, he stopped for a drink in a bar, and he had no money on him. He presumed, being a poet, that the serving girl would give him something to drink, but she refused him a drink, and he wrote her a cursing poem, basically. And again, in Irish tradition, it was supposed that a poet cursed you, he could bring welts out in your face, or give you a disease, or so on, or cause something terrible to happen. I've often tried cursing the Kilkenny hurling team of St. Fergus, and I found it hasn't worked along the way, unfortunately, but we'll leave that pass. So this is his poem called, and I'll give my English version after this, is one, Sherfishach, Sherike, Iger, Sronach, Shask, you know, it's a nasty poem. Sherfishach, Sherike, Iger, Sronach, Shask, Detiching is Eberiert and Scornan, Facht, Berach Schiefer Detili gan loan har lear an delvin gan delvin ar oer ma hart. Da reki is a felgin I of the yoch cacht is bertinti go legidishim scorsa cask. O cheshiv si go veriglin is bjorin a gar don steligin ar legirin a gloir a vad. Merigin ach verihi gan hiol na chab de hiligshin a gredimin sa borshamach. He chelim riev a pedigree mar ogres racht. Be vlogan deed a merchin do hoster cut. Religin in elity nach dood na man, is sheshin gneed a vecimid, so road ra ma. Evenedly os devinde go do na drav, so letin she's go legishi mar noid a cock. I call it the bad bar bitch. These are not my words, these are Davy O'Brodyr. And I was never refused a drink, I didn't have to, you know. The snot-nosed, snivelling, thin-dry, bad bar bitch refused me drink, so I gladly, gloriously curse her snobby, sorpus ways that don't wash here the ugly, bird-brained bumpkin who despised my thirst. If I spread the word, dumb bunny would get the sack. My friend the publican would serve with joy on tap. The beer the bitch refused. May she contract herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia, straight syphilis, and raw gummy clap. She's a hot dog haranguing harpy with a piercing voice who chucked me out of my head with maximum force. I'd say nothing about her mother, but not by choice. For all I care, she'd get stuffed or give up the ghost. That club-footed clot who was never a woman to me, her wizened old puss, crab-apple face, that's so apt. May she lubber forever and crawl in the face of the earth and ploddingly plop in her porridge her parcels of crap. That's great. I swear, you know. And I'm going to finish with a sigh, which I translate, and I did this before. And I have a reason for it, because it's Mná na hÉireann, Women of Ireland, which Mary Robinson used as a kind of calling card for her, and she often used it along the way. And of course, a reference to this famous poem of Patrick Dernean, which was Sean O'Shea sang it. Kate Bush is a version of it. There's a recent one. Shebeal has come out a version as well. None of them sing the whole poem, and there's a reason for it. And maybe what I'll do is I'll string, because there are several offending verses in it. And Mary Robinson, nor any of the people, and probably deliberately, don't sing what the real poem is about. They don't, simply don't tell you. And I'll explain it after I've attempted to sing it along the way in my own version. Kate Bush actually gets the pronunciation dead on. Pagan in Erin, Avranach Sheadon, Miss Mahal and all. Sagan in Erin, near Vishdale, Maharafi Coil, Nashinum Tilt. Sagan in Erin, Spear of Harley, Bell, Michel Limnick, Smahar begre, smahar fjord. Ta bannen i ring, avachen ned, jammer veinach påk. O vanner i nach, nach etten skjelle, is mahaif in jo. Så vanna bergen, nach hals kjedje, nach vein gado. Så kalin spiruel, ege fargan virle, du hran och hran. Så vanna leinet, Vishte leve lorjam bord Sa benne varn fi En ich ver si Is på harvinge kjol Sa benne hevknik Egar kemen En ich gair e gol Vi trådne meiten Ach ni meshe jegnik Aga kosh o chor Sa benne jamach Troskes tremes agus grade mor Sa ben nach nirach Nam jan i mora Is nach nardoch og lor Ach de hasbein seren A fos le far A vi kraif a choy Nam mailch eglias Is nach mynach le A gazer dan Sa ben nirach Da schuling leg a weingen tor O vanne linne a deshe min Na ne tai de bo Sna le vanne vurech Bei le vir a es klar hier oin Sni ekim leiser ma galer fein Ach skar do No, the point of the point This guy, he's not a bit too harsh, but this guy is, he thinks or likes to think that a lot of women are in love with him, this one, women of Ireland from all over, but he's impotent, he can't do it, that's it, and that's what the poem is about, from here on, so no, there's no one else, and they never sing the two offending verses, which are crude enough, but it's what is actually in the original poem by Padre of their name. So this is a version of a translation to try to get some of the rhythm into it. Abroad in woman, there's a woman who would give me joy and tons to drink. And there in Ireland, abroad likes me to strut and sing and to pluck strings. And here in Ireland, there's one would prefer me dead than to jump and jink on my body rotting in graveyard clay beyond life's ahoy. And cunning shrinks. A woman, friend of a friend, she would be jealous if she got a whiff of my goings and comings with others I know, whom at least I kissed, and my searing love of a secret girl who will always live, but men with English will always get off with the best of things. There's a Leinster woman would drink with me like a work of art, and a woman in Farney with a glorious voice which she got a start. And a hillside woman in Carrickamon who laughed with heart, but who was once a virgin, but it wasn't me, prized her ties apart. There's a woman who starves and punishes herself for the love of God, and another one who wouldn't curse or swear or dirty her gob, but a wild woman learned a thing or two when she holily married a slob, as he could neither prod nor poke nor play whoopee, and certainly not do the job. This woman says that if I hang out with her, I will get her gold, which I should prefer than the cows and herds of all Tyrone, of a woman more beautiful than Ballyfeard and than all that owned, in his richest of counties, his lands and bogs, his lakes and markets, his precious stones. And actually, I've left out the last two lines, which actually says, so all I've left to do is to take to drink, which is what the poem is about. So it's Manon Héireann, I said, so the next time you hear the pink song, remember me.